We have come to an important time in this church's history. And I just want to remind you that we're in a war. You remember that. We're in a war. And so Satan doesn't play fair. But we have the victory. And that should energize us in going into the new year. Because we are the victors because of Christ. Amen. Let's take our swords out. I haven't come up with a better start but this simple prayer. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message, it's Time to Grow Our Small Beginning. Time to Grow Our Small Beginning. Turn to Zechariah the prophet, chapter 4, verse 10. And we will begin. When you're there, let me see your hands. Zechariah 4:10. Are we there? This is the prophet speaking, and he says, "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the earth." Do we despise where we're at right now? Or do we have a hope in Jesus Christ of something greater, something more? It all depends on your perspective. It all pertains on how you think about life. You know, the words that we speak are the words that we're thinking. And a lot of times we say things that really shouldn't be uttered, as Nolan so beautifully has put it. He's realizing that if we say that we're sick, we're sick. If we're saying that our body is overcoming this, that is more of a reality than stating what the enemy would want us to state. And so the beginning of this year, I want us to really realize that there are changes, and it all has to change between our ears, because our actions are going to dictate how we think about things. Luke 19:10 said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Messiah didn't come to establish his kingdom. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He already has a kingdom. And he is the king. He is our king. And we have to remind ourselves of that fact. You know, in looking, before we can go forward in 16, we have to look to see what God has done for us in 2015. And he has instructed me to remind us that this is just the beginning. Where we're at is just the beginning. And so we should rejoice that this coming year, this sanctuary will be filled. It will be filled with people who want God. Amen? What has God done in 2015? And I'll only state a few things because he's done so much, but I want us to really understand that what he was preparing, we are now at that point in time that now he says, come with me. Let us do this together. And this is awesome because with change there is opportunity. And what we need to do is recognize that opportunity, seize it, and make the most of it. I'm trying to inspire us to get out of our doldrums and lack and focus on where we're at and look to see where God wants to take us. Because all of us have a part to play in this future. Some more, some less, but we all have a part to play. What we did first was rehab the building, and it took approximately 2 years. We're still not done, but we spent a lot of our energies in rehabbing the building so that we could at least have a place where we can meet and train the saints to do the works of the ministry. And we praise God for that. And some of these ministries we brought along when we were still a house church, and a lot of them Irene and I were doing. And I have to say that I am quite pleased and rejoice in the Lord that people are now starting to take ownership of the ministry. You see, my name is not on this ministry for a certain reason. My name isn't to be exalted. It's His name that has to be exalted. And we have to understand that there is a prophetic reason why we are called streams. The reason why we're called streams is prophetically God is going to bring to us various streams of ministry to help build this end time move of His church to bring in the lost. We're just at the precipice of this great end time harvest that is coming. And we, and I, Pastor Mike also, rejoice that we're at this point. We get to work with God to see people come to His home. And so those ministries are slowly growing. People are taking them over, of which is releasing myself and Irene to do the other works of the ministry. And what we want to understand is that in these changes that have happened, by no means are they small things that we consider. They are mighty things because people are stepping out, believing God, not knowing where it's going to take them. That should be exciting to us. If I knew what my destination was and I knew all the stops along the way, I would be bored to tears. When we would take vacations, we would do things and go routes that were well traveled. Why? Because we wanted to see something different. We wanted to experience something different. And your Father has that plan for you no matter what it is that He's calling you to do. He doesn't want you to be bored. He wants you to be excited and enthusiastic about this coming year. The great opportunities that are before us, all we need to do is seize them from Him and then do them. We have developed a relationship with the local government in such a way that the local government, those who were against streams being here, are no longer in power. That's the power of prayer. That's what we pray. That God, You give us favor and remove those governments that are not of You. You see, this warfare that we're in is God's war. That's why He says it's not by power or might, it's by His Spirit. It's His war. And His war is against evil. It's against what sin has done to His creation. And He hates what has happened to His creation. But He has redeemed us. He has shown us His goodness and glory. And now He wants us to go and share that, to bring others into His home, to experience this. Our job is to expand His kingdom. Our job is to influence those who don't know Him yet, like we should know Him. That is our job. And it takes every ounce of courage in order to move forward. We have to understand that the changes that have been made is to move the ministry forward. Now the changes are made not to move the ministry forward, it's to expand the ministry. You see, when more people come, more ministry will happen. And that gives you opportunity to serve in that area that God is calling you to. You know, God hasn't called me to shepherd you guys so that you're feeling really good about yourself. And you know, one day he's going to come through the eastern sky and we're all going to be raptured out of here. That's the message of the gospel that's being preached in a lot of churches today. The message of the gospel is the cross. That's the message that needs to be shared. Because he died so that we may live. We die so that others may live. And all we want to do is impart that life into them. We have even made some changes in leadership, oversight of these ministries and such, that Holly, who was heading up Spotless, now Jen is doing that. That frees Holly to do other things. It also frees her up to have her baby and take care of little Charlotte and stuff. And I recommend calling them if you want to pay a visit to them. Call ahead of time and make sure that it's okay to go over. We want to consider them. We want to prefer them. We want them to enjoy this blessing that God has bestowed upon them, because the work is still going to continue. We've also seen with Ed, we've released him out of oversight of the maintenance ministry, and Gary's overseeing that now, and things are happening. Things are being accomplished in that. You see, it isn't necessarily whether you want to be a leader or not, you already are. That's the fact. And these individuals are seizing those opportunities to help grow the ministry. And it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost to their time. It comes to a cost of their money and to themselves, their family time. It's called a sacrifice. And as the worship team is learning, there has to be a sacrifice before the blessing comes from God. Streams is going to experience the growth that God has promised us this coming year. But there is a problem. There is a problem, and that problem is the way we think. I call it the culture of our thinking. First of all, we must reemphasize what the importance is. What is our focus? Well, this year we're not going to do some ministries. Our focus and strategy is going to change. We used to go just one-on-one with people to share the gospel, share our testimony, pray with people, and that still can happen. But what we're going to do is, and what we have done, is we're dividing the two areas of greatest need. One area is going to have oversight in which I'll be involved, and that is with the worship team. Slowly bringing the worship team. We have the nucleus of a worship band, and we need to acquire a few more pieces that God will bring to us to inspire that worship that we can all enter into. The other aspect that of need is our outreach. Pastor Mike is going to oversee that. And the first thing we want to do is develop a team. With the team, then we're going to develop things that we're going to do, and then we're going to mark the calendar and put those things into place. We are not going to do Main Street this year. We are going to take those resources and hopefully, our hope is to make a difference in the people's lives. We've done it for 7 years. We've seen no fruit. And the fruit that has been born is that we have grown better at what we do. That's not to be negated. That's just as important. But the fruit I'm talking about is we need to start bringing people in to Father's house. And so Pastor Mike will be heading that up. We'll be collaborating, but he's going to take that load off of me so I can continue to focus on where we're at. We have to understand that with this focus, we need to really pay attention to what God is doing and what God wants to do. And so what we have to understand is that we have a target. Does anybody know what our target is? Yeah, that's our target area, Williamstown. But that's not to say that the harvest is going to come from Williamstown. In my experience, we worked one town, the harvest came from another field, another town. We're not interested in where they come from. We're interested in providing an opportunity for them to make a decision for Jesus Christ or not. That's our job. That's what God has given to us. It is to have the ability to share about the kingdom and give people the opportunity to want to be a part of the kingdom or not. And that's all we're going to do, is provide them with this opportunity. Within this target are two groups of people that we're going to stay focused on. I'm not interested in who's going to what church. We have always said we're going to reach unchurched and unsaved. That's who we're going to go after in this community. Doesn't matter if they're 5 years old. Doesn't matter if they're 50 years old. We're going to go after them. Because they need to understand what Christ did for them. And it wasn't to provide them with a Christmas day that we celebrate his birthday on. Unchurched people, they're like us. Some of them have received Jesus Christ. Some of them have heard the gospel. Some of them are even believers, but they're not plugged in. They're not plugged in either through something that's happened within a local assembly, or they're just not fitting in. But we need to get them. We need to bring them into a place where they can be nurtured and cared for and loved and discipled in such a way that they can go out and continue this process. The other part is unsaved people, or as I like to say, those who are still far away from God. They're a little bit harder to reach. These individuals may not have any kind of Christian witness to them. They may understand what the gospel is, but they believe that it's a bunch of rules and regulations, and they don't want any part of it. We had the great opportunity to tell them and exhibit before them that it's about a relationship. It's about loving them in spite of them being hostile towards us. I just want to exhort you. If you haven't read The Cross of the Switchblade, read that. It's about Nikki Cruz and how the pastor stayed on his case, even to the point where he was stabbed by Nikki Cruz. And still, this pastor went after him. And now Cruz has a tremendous ministry working with gangs and stuff in New York City. So one of the first major changes that we have to make is how we think about those outside. We have to stop thinking that I have a ticket that's punched and I'm going to escape this when the rapture happens. Read your scriptures. Read your scriptures. I can argue pre-rapture, mid-rapture, post-rapture with you. It's God's call when he's going to take the church out. And so we need to be busy about Father's business until he comes. Not think about, well, I'm saved and I'm just going to sit here in a pew and I'm going to wait till Jesus comes. Understand that Jesus came to seek the lost. And so must we. We have to look at it in such a way that these individuals haven't had the experience that we have. And so we want them to have the experience that we have. Why? Because it's impossible. Hear me. It's impossible to grow a healthy church without having people getting saved. It's impossible. What we've experienced the last 20 years has been an influx of changing churches, not people becoming saved. I get offended at this church? Let's go over to that one. They want me to serve in here? I want to go to even a bigger church. I want to do this. I want to do that. What does God want you to do? We have a great opportunity before us to reach out into this community to win the loss. Less than 8,000 people in this community go to church on a regular basis. Less than 8,000. In this community of 40,000, you do the math, we've got a great opportunity before us. And we're going to seize it because they need to see that we love God and we love each other. And we want them to experience this in its reality. So the first step is we need to redefine what it means to be a Christian. Turn to Luke 19:10. And put your finger in there and then put your finger at Matthew 4:19. Everyone that's at Luke, are we there? It says, Jesus speaking, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Flip back over to Matthew 4:19. "Then he said to them," this is Jesus, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." If you look at the scriptures, and I pray that you're in it every day, Jesus was on a mission. He knew that he had to atone for our sins. And through that time when God set it up for him, what did he do? He was about winning souls into the kingdom of God. And he did this by healing the sick. Sickness is not of God. He delivered them from demonic oppression. That's not of God. God doesn't sick it on us. We've given him a license to come in and abuse us. Again, through our words. He delivered them from every case. Why? Because the Father was confirming that we are in a war and that he was destroying the kingdom of darkness systematically so that people would understand that this kingdom that we're going to partake and are in is being confirmed as we go forth with signs and wonders. So it stands to reason, my logic stands to reason, that if I call myself a Christian, one of the things I should be doing is fishing. Are we fishing? Are you fishing? Or are you just waiting to be inspired to do something? To be a Christian, our definition should be, it is to act like Jesus. It stands to reason that if we are not winning souls, are we a Christian? Is that a priority for us? I know for us in leadership, we talk about this continuously. We talk about the people we witness to. We talk about the people we go to. I want to tell you, I want to break it down. It's so simple. We did this Wednesday. Pastor Barry and I, when we were up at Pastor Barry's church, we went out to lunch. And it was a crazy house at this restaurant. So I asked the waitress if everything was okay. Pastor Barry took the part. He said, "Can we pray for you?" We prayed right then and there. And it was like dead silence hit the restaurant. People were stopped because we're praying. We are not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and neither should you. It's as simple as asking to pray for someone. Now, we didn't preach a message to her. We didn't do anything. And what we see is you're already should understand that I'm going in a direction of evangelism. Well, I want to take evangelism and give you a different word called connect. How can I be used of God to connect somebody to Him? That's fishing. We saw this young lady, she was beside herself, and all we did was take 30 seconds to pray with her. Pray for her family. And you know what? The restaurant became quiet. God was there. It's something when God shows up, all activity seems to cease. Because we sensed that God wanted to touch this young lady. And hopefully, she'll get planted into a church if she's not in one. We only have the responsibility of presenting the opportunity as the Holy Spirit leads us. We don't have the responsibility of harvesting them immediately. I told you, I cut my teeth on lifestyle evangelism. And part of that was, you need to win them. You need to close the deal. You need to do that. Well, that's true. But let's build this relationship with them first. Gary and I have gone to, what is that, Buffalo Wings? Whatever. And we went out. We're trying to build some sort of bridge in which we can begin to relate to people that are there. If you are not involved with people, what are you doing? Well, it's just not me. That's who you were. You're now in Christ. You need to seize the opportunities in Christ that He presents to you. Those old excuses aren't going to work anymore. Because one day we're going to stand before Him. Well, I was afraid, Lord. I wasn't equipped to do that, Lord. I just wanted to receive salvation, Lord. Read the parable of the talents. And see what happened to the one who buried his talent and the excuses that he made. Step two. We have to change the definition. Am I a Christian and am I fishing? Or am I just going through life hoping to be raptured out of here so I can make it to heaven? Two. We need to take personal responsibility for these souls. These souls are out there. And God saved you to go and save them. Romans 1:14 says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." This is Paul speaking. He's a debtor. He understands that he has an obligation, a responsibility to speak to people, that some would be saved. Paul says, "I became all things to all men that some would be saved." If we're thinking that we have to harvest them right away, when what we really need to do is build a bridge, we missed it. We missed it. We're a debtor because Jesus died for the world. Is the world saved? No. And so we have a great opportunity. But the enemy, because he doesn't want us to impact our community, our county, our state, our nation, will tell us a bunch of lies. And the unfortunate thing is, we believe it. We believe what he says rather than what God says. So we have to change the definition, and we have to understand we have to take ownership, not only just ownership of the local church, but the local church is to be filled up. The local church should be blossoming with tons of ministries. And I'm looking at several possibilities that we're going to start this year. Step three. Turn to Luke 7, 34. This is real important. I'm going to do a death blow to your religious spirit. Luke 7, verse 34 says, this is the king speaking, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine bibbler, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" How many unsafe friends do you have? Well, I don't have any because I'm not living my life right for Jesus, and so I don't want them to judge me. Let me challenge you to change that a little bit. Each and every one of us have family, friends, co-workers, people that we know that aren't saved. And what I'm suggesting is you formulate a list and start praying for them. The reason why we pray is to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. The reason why we pray for them is so that the Holy Spirit can set up a divine appointment that we can share with them without conflict. And a lot of times we have conflict because we either step out before God or we haven't prayed and we step out before God. It's the truth. I'm a living example of that. My zeal for God when I was a young believer superseded having any wisdom of God in doing this. So pray for them. And then pursue them as the Holy Spirit leads you to pursue them. Every once in a while, I get somebody that's dropped into my spirit. What do you think I do? I pray. What do you want me to do, Lord? I want you to phone them. I want you to write to them. I want you to do this. I don't want you to do anything. I'm bringing them to your mind. Okay. You see how easy this thing is? It's all on him. We just do what he tells us to do. We need to befriend sinners. We went on New Year's Eve to the city of Haddonfield. And we had a good time because we didn't have to deal with the revelry and the drinking and all that which is associated with celebrating a heathen holiday. Am I out of context? I mean, it is a heathen holiday. We're not to differentiate between one day or another. Right? But we did. Okay, so if you want to speak to me and correct me, that's fine. But there was a ton of people that don't know Jesus. And we're trying to make connections. We're trying to be out with the people. And we did. We talked to a few people. We talked to a few business people. Gary and I went and talked to the pretzel guy. You know, we're just trying to make connections. We're trying to be purposeful in what we're doing. Are you purposeful? Do you understand that this warfare, if Satan has no one to fight, he's going to keep us in the position that we're at? And I know with this gentleman, he's made a commitment. And now he's being tested in that commitment. Pray with him. Remind him we had the victory. I remind him God is our source. I remind him that you know what? What we say out of our mouths will be tested by the enemy to see if it's real in our heart or not. And his response was, welcome to the ministry. Because that's what it's about. Ministry is warfare. So we need to start having a bunch of friends. Not that we compromise who we are by relating to them, but showing them the light of Jesus Christ, that we could still have fun, we could still be regular people. It's just that we're on a mission that has divine consequences attached to it. And four, we need to learn to close the connection. What do I mean by that? We shouldn't be going out, and I've heard this over the years, I'm going to win two people a day till the end of the year. And people do. They have been very adamant and deliberate in staying true to that. Two people a day. That's 700 people that we offend. We do. Because offense is the cross. If you're not preaching the cross, what are you preaching? The cross is going to offend people. They don't understand what Jesus did. They don't understand that this carcass is filled with sin. The life I now live, I live in Christ, so that he may come out. They need to hear that. They need to understand that as I'm relating to a holy God, he changes me. And the more I behold him, the more I become like him. I don't have to do anything. I like what Pastor Mike says. If I miss a day of my devotions, oh my God, the enemy will try to throw guilt and condemnation on us. But is that our relationship with Jesus? Or is that a religious response that we have been taught that we need to do? And I would say that it's the latter. So turn to Mark 8. We must understand we are in a war. And this war requires our obedience to the direction of our King. If you don't understand what church government is about, you need to sit down. We can have a discussion about church government. I had a discussion with a person this week, and I kept on saying the word church. And he was becoming very agitated with the word church. You see, I'm trying to reach an unchurched person. And he got so animated, he said to me, he goes, Well, you know, I'm part of the church. And immediately, just like that, the Holy Spirit said, remember when those people asked Jesus, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Lord, Lord, didn't I do that? What was his response? I never knew you. You see, to have a relationship is to understand authority. To understand authority is to understand that he delegates authority within the church over our lives, and people have the right to speak. That's the same thing in the church. And when you are not in the church, you are a worker of iniquity because you want to be king. You are not submitted under authority. And I'm like, man, that is heavy, Lord. He says, that's why he's agitated. We are submitted. We have apostolic oversight of the church. We are submitted to their input. Because I'm a man submitted, I understand about the delegated authority. And I delegate authority. If I say to this man, go, he goes. If I say to this man, come, he comes. Isn't that what the centurion said to Jesus? And he was a heathen. People understand these things, but in the church, it's like it doesn't apply. We have a goofiness about this. Are we there at Mark 8, verses 34 through 38? And when he called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, this is Jesus, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's our message. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me, my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father with the holy angels. That is a very strong word about ashamed. It correlates to the denial of Peter three times. He was ashamed of Jesus Christ, so he denied him. He was silent. Even to the point that he refused that he even knew him. Church, we're not going to be silenced by what they tell us. We have a mandate from heaven to go and tell them. Only until God tells us to be quiet will we be quiet. And he hasn't given that order yet. Each of us have to understand and remind ourselves that we have to die daily. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it usually goes against our flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to do the will of God. I talked to prophetic teams, and I said, God speaks to my spirit, who enlightens my mind, to motivate my flesh to do his will. Our motivation should be his will. And what we need to do is put our carcass back on that cross and leave it there. So when God speaks to us, go speak to that person. We say, yes, Lord, and we do what he says. And as we're going, we're praying, Lord, what do you want me to say to him? You know? And we've heard over the years so many crazy accounts from a person standing on his head in front of a vending machine to bring and share the good news of Jesus Christ to a person who's driving down a road and picks up a hitchhiker who he doesn't know, and we know how dangerous that is. But God. See, he wants us to connect. He wants us to be mindful that there are people out there that want what we have. They just don't know where to get it. And they're repulsed by the church. A church building or a society that is religious, which was what we have today in this country. We have a society that has a religious presentation, preaching a gospel that is socially accepted to entertain people so that they don't have to die. Went to church, had a great time. What the preacher preach about? I don't know, but it sure was good. Maybe some of us have come out of that types of church. Church should be a place where you come to get equipped. You're inspired. You sense the Spirit of God, and you know you can do this because God says nothing is impossible to him who believes. Nothing. We're here because I believed. We're going to fill this up because I believe God wants to do that. Do you believe it? You see, the culture of the thinking that we have supersedes vision. Vision only tells me where we're going. The culture of thinking tells me how I'm going to get there. What am I going to do to accomplish the vision? What is my part in this? What is your part? What has God said to you? It's important that you drag out those spiritual gift things and find out what you're good with. Then come to me and we'll put you in the ministry that best suits you for success. Maybe we don't have that ministry yet. Maybe you're to start the ministry. You see, to reach people, we have to reach them in such a way that we're connecting with them. We're either going to connect with them through the ministries of the church, or we're going to connect with them through the activities that we do together socially, whether it's through work or whatever. We're going to build common ground. We're going to build these things in such a way to win those. Some of them. We're not going to win everybody. It doesn't matter what we do for each other. I mean, it does, but in the scope of reality, it doesn't. It doesn't even matter if we extend ourselves to those who don't know what Jesus did, but we gave them lunch, talked to them, we were friends with them. If we don't close the deal. On an average, it takes 7 people to hear the gospel, to experience the gospel before they make a decision for Jesus Christ. If we don't build these bridges to love them, it doesn't mean a hill of beans for what we do for them. They're still going to go to hell. They're still going to suffer eternal damnation from God. And we want to give them the opportunity not to make that choice. Are you with me? All we have to do is present the opportunity to them. That's what Jesus did. He gave us the opportunity. I didn't get saved just so I could go to heaven. And believe me, when I first got saved, I just thought, man, I get in the door. Whew. That was 32 years ago. Now God is apostolically giving me vision and seeing what this is and speaking those things that are not into being. And I expect to see that happen. Our goal is very simple, to double our size. At least in this coming year. How many of us are here? I tell people we have 40 souls. We go to 80, 120, 160, whatever. We train them. We equip them. We get the makings of a worship team. But there are those who have those gifts and talents that are coming that we need to incorporate because they're going to be sent out to church plants, of which some of you are going to go with them to continue this process, to continue. The days are starting to get darker, not more light. The deception is becoming clearer and clearer. And yet we poo-poo the events. We're more concerned about what's happening to us, and we're saved, than we are about them who are going to eternally spend separation from God, whom he died for. And I know his heart aches. Matthew 18:14 says, and even so, is this not the will of your Father who is in heaven, that no one of these little ones should perish? He isn't speaking to kids. Although kids are included, he's speaking of those who don't know him. We're childish. We have to put childish things down, guys, ladies. There's a whole world that is dying. We're in a war. And it may look like Satan is winning, but he's lost. Let us go get him. Let us bring him in. If God is speaking to you about this, see Pastor Mike. We want to put a team together. We want to set certain things up. We want to do the work that God has called us to fill his house. There is so much ministry that is still to come. There is great opportunity. Pastor Mike and I can't do it. And so God's going to bring other pastors if you guys don't arise to the occasion. Great opportunity. Well, Pastor, you know, that's not what I signed on for. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You signed on for it. You didn't know you signed on for it, but that's exactly what you signed on for. We need to begin to understand. Jesus didn't say, follow me and I'll bring you to church. That's the mindset of evangelism today. He said to us, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Are you ready to go fishing? Because fishing brings joy to our Father. We're going to depopulate hell and populate heaven with all those souls. We're going to cast out demons. We're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. We're going to forgive sin. Because that's being like Jesus. What will my friends think? Who cares? You ought to be more concerned about what your Father thinks. But I, you know what? Everything that comes out of your mouth needs to be truthful and honest. And if it is not, even a snippet of what's coming out of your mouth has a lie to it, it's all a lie. When he talks about being holy as he's holy, he's talking about truth too. Purity. When we tell them the gospel, let's give them all the gospel. Let's not hold anything back. They may laugh at us. They may spit at us. Some of us will go to jail. Because that's the hostility that we're facing. And some of us will have some good lawyers to protect our rights in this nation. We're being assaulted on two fronts, guys. The Islamists who hate us because they're their father, the devil. And the spirit of Antichrist, which is causing great delusion, come upon the land to tell you that everything is hunky-dory. I'm here to tell you, it's not. But if you're in Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing to fear. 2 Peter 3:9, his last scripture, says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The message of the cross is repenting. It's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. And you've heard this. You know this. But let's give them a modern definition. It's changing the way they think so that it changes the heading that they're going. And turn around. Come back to where there's sanity and peace and love and mercy and grace. This year, we're going to need a lot of grace from God to do this. This isn't just pastors or leaders or special gift ministries of the evangelist. He commissioned the church. Are we the church of Jesus Christ? We're part of it. Thereby, we need to be about Father's business. Nolan, would you go and tell Miss Irene we're going to have communion now? Thank you. If God is stirring your heart on any of this, come talk to me. If he's stirring your heart to be a part of this team that Pastor Mike is going to put together, go talk to him. See him. This is only the beginning stages. And what we have to understand is God has commissioned us for a time as this to go and win them into his family.